Is meant to tell, and now we're continuing with the laws of a home, and let's begin with outside our home. So we are responsible to ensure that we don't cause harm to other people. So that means if I have a fence, I have to make sure there aren't parts of the fence that are poking out that people will scratch themselves and tear their clothing on. You ever walk by someone's fence and they have pieces jutting out that you end up cutting yourself? It's our responsibility that our fence doesn't do that. It says that if you have, let's say you have on your lawn a lot of dry leaves, so you're not allowed to rake them out onto the street, let them deal with that. I'm not allowed to cause my objects to cause harm in public domain. Now, one area where people are inappropriately lenient is with regards to their dogs. People let their dogs run without a leash. People let their dogs go around without a muzzle. And people get very scared. So I had a guest who has CP, and he was walking with his walker, and a dog came by. So people with CP have something called startle reflex, where they freeze. CP is cerebral palsy. So people with different disabilities have reflexes that they can't control. It's a reason that people with certain disabilities can't drive, because when they get scared, they can get startle reflex, and they freeze. Meaning, whereas we might be scared, but we can focus and act, their muscles freeze. It's like a spasm, where they're not going to be able to turn the wheel when they suddenly get scared that the car is about to hit someone. So it's called startle reflex. So the guy is walking with his walker and a dog comes. So he stands and freezes and he can't move. And he has a hard time holding on to his balance as the dog is coming and sniffing him. Well, needless to say, that was the last time the guy left our house for the rest of his stay. He wouldn't leave the house unless he was accompanied with someone because there were loose dogs running around. So ignoring him, the halacha, the Gemara tells a story. So the first thing we should know is that David HaMelech had a dog. It said David HaMelech had dogs. It says that when he passed away, his son Shlomo took over, and he was wondering on Shabbat how he's supposed to feed the dogs. Is he allowed to cut up food for them? What's he supposed to do with dog food on Shabbos? So we see that owning a dog is not like a spiritually bad thing. People have owned dogs in Jewish history. King Pharaoh owned dogs. That doesn't tell us anything here or there. So it says in Egypt, right? The dogs in Egypt didn't. What does it mean? Yecharatz kelev. They didn't snarl at them. So the Talmud tells us a story of a pregnant lady who was walking down the street, and a dog started rushing at her and barking, and the owner said, "Don't worry, I took out his teeth, he can't hurt you." And she said, "Too late, I already miscarried." As she was standing there, the fear, her stomach muscles spasmed, and she miscarried. She said to the man, you didn't help me much, because I already lost the baby, I feel him coming out. So the Talmud says, if you're going to own a dog, it's not enough that you know that the dog can't harm people. The dog has to be placed in a way that it's obvious to the onlooker that he won't harm them. So that's why people buy muzzles. It has to be something that a person sees the dog can't harm them. It's not enough that you know, oh, that dog won't hurt you. I used to walk home every day by a park, and people used to let their dogs run loose there. And sometimes their dog were like the one you described you own, but the dog was almost my height. And the owner would be walking back and say, "Don't worry, he doesn't bite." So I once thought I should buy a gun and cock it and hold it by the dog and say, "Don't worry, I'm not going to shoot." Right? Let's see the owner. How happy would he be? Right?
Don't worry. We're responsible for people not being scared. Sort of aware that nowadays in the 21st century, 2017, I think it's pretty obvious that a trained dog, typically being walked by an owner, like, it's pretty not, I don't think it's, I think it's rare that you have like a crazy dog being walked by an owner that it's going to attack someone. Like, it's widespread known that.
Right, sure. My neighbor across the street said the same thing. He said, "My dog is well trained." And so the dog went running when the rabbi of the yeshuv showed up before my time, but they told me the story. the rabbi of the yeshuv showed up to their house and they said, don't worry, the dog's trained. And then the dog took a big bite out of his leg. The people who live across the street from me. What?
My counter question is, when they say the dog is well trained, does he know it?
Does the dog know it? Does the dog know how well he's trained? Look, again, even if the dog is trained, the issue here is people's feelings.
Exactly.
The halacha expects us to be concerned for their fear. They don't have to be scared. You know, I have a neighbor that owns snakes. Big snakes, like the length of this table. And when he walks down the street on Shabbat, he likes walking with them around, wrapped around his neck. But you know, when a snake is this big, what are they called? Constrictors?
Yes. Yeah?
So their head is all the way out here, and their tail is all the way out there. And he walks around, like one around his arm and one around his neck. And when I see him, I cross the street. I wave, but I'm not coming close. And he always says, don't worry, you want to come pet them? And, no, I don't want to pet them. And I'm not so comfortable seeing him not so far from me.
This is a young guy?
Yeah.
Ben Zaken?
Oh, you know him.
Yeah. Went to YTA with me.
At least you guys know my stories are true. So at any rate, we live a few houses from one another. You have to be concerned for how other people feel. So that's a halacha in terms of owning wildlife. That it's not enough that we ensure they don't harm, we also have to ensure they don't scare. The people who see them don't get scared by them. That same halacha says you shouldn't have in your house something that's a source of harm to other people. So that includes, in the days of the Talmud, it included a ladder that wasn't trustworthy, that people would climb on that ladder and fall. So you have to make sure your ladders are secure, because you don't always pay attention which ladder you're climbing. One of the things people do that they shouldn't do, I don't see them around here, but sometimes there are these thin plastic chairs. In Israel, they're called Keter chairs. The company that manufactures them is called Keter. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Right. So you have to make sure not to climb on those. It's very dangerous. Meaning when you stand on them, I've seen them break under people. In our shul, our chairs were all plastic chairs. So one time a visitor came and sat down on the chair, and the poor guy, it broke under him. So some of the people came running to me and said, Rabbi, make sure he doesn't sue. Another person was smarter. He went over to the guy and said, look, we're a very nice shul, and we're okay with it, but before you leave after Shabbos, you might want to consider donating two new chairs for the one you broke. And the guy said, you're 100% right. And after Shabbos, he wrote out a check for a donation of two new chairs. So that just shows you two different approaches. You know, some people were concerned he would sue. Another person saw it as an opportunity to get a donation, and he got his donation. But the truth is that I told them all projects have to go on hold. We have to get new chairs. And we got chairs very similar to these. I said, you can't have, it's wrong to have a place where people can walk in and sit on a chair and it breaks under them. It's not responsible. So even though a shul is supposed to have svarim and teach and have a lot of other things, this is a basic element of the house we run. So this comes up more often in your life than you think, and people ignore it. It's a biblical mitzvah. The Torah says, "Lo tasim damim beveitecha." You're not allowed to have a source of bloodshed in your home. So where does this come up? So most of you will probably not set up a rifle opposite your front door like someone in the U.S. did to ensure that if a burglar walks in, he gets shot. Right? Famous court case, burglar walked in, got shot, sued the guy and won. Because the law said it's illegal to set up your house, to booby trap your house. Interesting story. But the halacha discusses a few other things that do come up in our homes, which we might not think of. You see a socket where the cover fell off. Where are you guys from? Remind me. You're from Australia. You're from South Africa? All South Africa. South Africa, your electricity is probably 210 like Israel, right? It's not, right? It's not 120 like the U.S. 210. So 210, people can get really hurt from 210. Hopefully you have good circuit breakers, but on 210, people can die. You're dealing around the house and you see a socket that's coming out of the wall. You have a one-year-old that crawls around and sticks his hand in different places. You're not allowed to leave home. You got to stop what you're doing and fix that. The Torah says you're not allowed to leave something that's a source of bloodshed in your home. You're not allowed to leave something dangerous. That means if you see that happen, you have to deal with it. There's a type of acid that's very, very sharp. I think it's called caustic acid. Soda acoustic, caustic. Yeah. What's its English name? I don't know the English name. Soda acoustic.
Acoustic soda.
I don't know. But it's something that can blind a person, burn a person. It's very serious acid. So you're not allowed to leave that lying around, because a kid might touch it, touch his eyes. You have to make sure it's in a place where they won't, where they can't reach it. People are sometimes negligent about where they leave their cleaners. Another thing that happens every year is some people leave their hot water for Shabbat in a place where the kid accidentally tips it over. And every year, there are an average of 2 to 3 deaths of children that are burnt to death by the hot water that their parents left. So in our house, we used to have a hot water urn. The second the kids reached an age where they could climb and touch it, our hot water stuff goes on top of the fridge. We have to climb chairs to get to it because I have to make sure the kids can't touch it. So I put it high up. I created this contraption on top of the fridge. First, I just put the hot plate there and I melted the top of the fridge. Then I realized I have to do something and raise it. So I figured out a way to raise it, and it's sitting up there for years. Because you're not allowed to do something that can be a source of damage, serious damage in one's home. And people overlook this, and that's how accidents happen. So that's why it's a Torah mitzvah. I can't leave something that's a harm to my neighbors in the home. I can't leave something that's a danger to people in my house, in my home. So I'll give, there are a few more interesting examples. People will sometimes put away a knife in their bag. And then when they reach their hand in the bag to take out the knife, they can grab it by the wrong end. Don't leave a knife that way in your bag. You have to wrap it in a way that's not going to happen. What other examples do we have of that? What other examples? There were people who lived in very secure areas, so they used to leave their car door unlocked. And the kids would sit, and when they'd play hide and seek, they'd run into people's cars and hide in there until their friends found them. Now, the danger in that is that the kids would sometimes let go of the handbrake and the car would go rolling. So if you know that kids are playing hide and seek in your car, you better lock it. You can't leave it that way. If you're in a neighborhood where that could happen, so you have to ensure that that can't happen. And the key here is to have the foresight to see the danger before it comes. That's the mitzvah, to pay attention to ensure it doesn't happen. Tov.